Herzlich willkommen zum Amundi Austria Podcast. Im Gespräch heißt unsere Podcast-Serie und diese Ausgabe trägt den Zusatz Special Guest, because this edition is recorded in English language. My name is Angelika Varga from the marketing team of Amundi in Vienna and I welcome Mr. Wafa Amadi, Head of Global Thematic Equities at CPR Asset Management in Paris. Today we are talking about thematic investments, marketing information. Welcome, Mr. Wafa Amadi.
Thank you very much for having me.
Head of Global Thematic Equities at CPR Asset Management in Paris. CPR Asset Management is part of the Amundi Group. Can you give us a short insight what CPR Asset Management is doing?
Yes, with pleasure. CPR Asset Management is 100% subsidiary of Amundi. We're managing currently somewhere close to 60 billion euros of assets under management. And we have four main activities. One of them is being thematic equities, which I'm heading. We have quantitative equities, as well as cross-asset and fixed income and money markets.
You just said thematic investment. So can you explain us what is thematic investment?
Yes. Thematic investing is about identifying trends outside of equity markets, which are surrounding us, which are shaping our lives. We try to identify these trends. We want them to be as long-term as possible. And once we've identified them, we try to transform them into investment universes. And therefore, we have to work on the investability of these trends. Once we've done that, we do a pure financial management on it. We try to transform this growth we identify within this trend, and we try to bring this as performance to our investors. So basically, it's about identifying trends and transforming them, transforming the growth within into performance and bringing it to our investors.
Can you give some examples of these trends?
Yes, of course. There are many of them around us shaping our lives. I can talk about the tech revolution, digitalization of our lives, the disruption which is surrounding us for the last 20 years, I can say. Aging is another one. Climate change is a very important and unfortunately maybe a long-lasting one ahead of us. These are just some examples of what I can mention at this stage.
You said disruption.
Yes.
It's a widely used word, but not everyone is completely sure what it means.
Yes.
Can you explain this?
Yes, disruption is an innovation of rupture. What do I mean by this? I mean that, you know, innovations which by being smarter, more convenient, easier, simpler, create a new market or disrupt an existing one. Let me give you some examples. 20 years ago, when we were, when we wanted to watch a movie at home, we used to go to a video shop to borrow a VHS cassette and all that. Today, that doesn't exist any longer. Why? Because a new business has come to life and disrupted the older one. I will not mention the streaming platform, but I think, you know, many of them. The taxi business, you know, we have other competitors, other disruptors, which didn't kill the taxi business, but disrupted. The video business got killed. The other one got disrupted. So these are just broad examples of how disruption is around us and how it's shaping our lives, our daily lives.
And disruption is taking place every day, more or
less. Every day. It's not only in tech. It's also in healthcare. The way we deal with diseases has started to change. We're in the middle of it. Industry has changed as well in the way we have integrated robotics in the way we produce. We can use that even in matters when it comes to, you know, earth, when it comes to new sources of energy. Things are changing everywhere. There's disruption almost everywhere.
Climate change, you mentioned it, is an important topic all over the world. How can it be an investment theme?
Well, it's more than an investment theme, to be honest with you. I think it's a risk we have to take care of, all of us. as individuals and as investors alike. How can it be as an investment theme? Well, changing the way things are being done around us, being more compliant with Paris Climate Accords, that means that we have to reduce our trajectory of CO2 emission. All these changes will bring investment opportunities for companies who are engaged in this transformation, in this transition. And therefore, we consider there is, for us, there are opportunities to be seized. And what we do in CPR Asset Management is to invest in those companies who are the most virtuous ones, and they are highly engaged in the transition to a cleaner or less emitting economy than before. And all this, once again, for us, is about how we can grasp all these opportunities, all these changes which are coming in their business models, and transform it into performance. And as a matter of fact, there are two major different ways of investing in climate change. The first one, perhaps the easiest one we can think of, is to invest in what we call climate solutions. Let me tell you what climate solution is. Climate solutions are about enablers, are about wind farms, are about solar panels. They will be the source of a clean energy, therefore a non-emitting energy. There are by themselves solution we can think of, rather than going and extract oil as a primary source of energy. So these are what we call solution funds. The other way we can invest in climate is about transitioning. It's about companies around us which should transition in a non-emitting pattern, in a less emitting pattern. And therefore, it's about how they will comply with the, 2 degrees temperature trajectory.
So these companies you were talking about right now,
yes,
they continue to produce what they are producing, but in more...
Exactly, efficient way when we're talking about climate. And that, in this case, in the second case, we should invest in all different sectors, not fossil energy, of course, but in all others, because once again, you have chemical companies who are transitioning, you have pharmaceutical companies who are transitioning, you have banks, you have every kind of company which should be engaged in this transition in order for us to have a cleaner, I would say cleaner, to have a more compliant trajectory at the end of this decade in 2030, and more so in 2050.
As a long-term trend, also a bit related to climate change, but mm-hmm. food safety is also a topic.
Yes, that's a very good question, because it's related. I would say rather than food safety, I would say providing food for the 10 billion of inhabitants we will be in 26 years from now, according to projections. By 2050, we will be around 10 billion of inhabitants around the world. And we have to produce food, obviously, in terms of quantity, but in a much, much more sustainable way, which would be much more compliant, once again, with climate change. And we have to encompass all these reflections in the way we will be producing food and what's needed to produce food for 10 billion people.
So infection disruption is also taking place in the
food industry. In a certain way, yes, it is already there. We have a huge amount of innovation which has been put in place in agriculture, for example. We call it agriculture of precision. I will not get into details, but yes, bringing food on the table of 10 billion of inhabitants, all by being more sustainable and all by respecting different, eating habits, changing different habits as we go forward around the world, it's a challenge by itself, which is bringing a lot of opportunities once again. And this is for us definitely, obviously, another long-term trend.
A long-term trend is also the hydrogen topic. So related again to climate change and to energy, how can hydrogen be an investment topic?
Well, hydrogen is, let me tell you what hydrogen is. Hydrogen is a vector of energy. It's not a source of energy. What does that mean? That means that in order to produce hydrogen, you need a primary source of energy, because hydrogen is being produced in two ways. Either you crack the molecule of methane, the gas, and then you will take the hydrogen. And this is not very clean. That is emitting CO2, and that's what we call gray or brown hydrogen. What we want to transition to is obviously the green hydrogen, okay, which is about breaking a molecule of water and then taking out the hydrogen molecule and store it. So there are two ways. The gray one, which is around 90 or 90 something percent as we speak today, because it's easier and it's cheaper. But the green one, which implies, you know, electrolyzers, a little bit more costly equipment, is the one we are aiming to. So therefore, hydrogen should transition from the current state, which is brown or gray, to the greener one. And according to projections, by 2050, which is not that long, it's in 26 years, it should represent almost cover 17% of our needs in energy, all by decarbonating around 15% compared to what we are doing today. So if we go forward as it's projected, the green hydrogen will be a source of combating the climate change, obviously. And what is interesting in hydrogen is that it's a very nascent industry. It's at the very beginning of its existence, I can say, as an industrial project. And if we go back only 6-7 years, there were not too many giga projects in hydrogen. And if we look in 2024 where we are, we can have more than thousands and thousands of very important projects everywhere in the world. And for once, we're ahead of the competition. We have been doing a lot in this field, as well as Asia, which has invested a lot in this. So it's a very nascent industry. It's a vector of energy. So we will always need a source of energy. And we want the source of energy to be clean as well. So it should be wind, solar, etc.
At the beginning, you said that you're looking for long-lasting trends.
Yes.
So if I'm listening to you now about the topic of hydrogen,
yes,
it was not an investment topic 10 years ago.
No. Well, the thematic of the hydrogen was existing but was not exploitable from an investment point of view, because obviously there were not enough listed stocks in which we could have invested. So we are still at very early stage of hydrogen, but it's a fact that, you know, the trend has been gaining momentum. And when we launched a fund more than a year and a half ago, we found enough listed stocks, pure hydrogen stocks, to build an investment universe and to manage efficiently a portfolio.
So in fact, it goes for all the thematic topics that you need a universe big enough to be able to choose.
Absolutely. The thing is that we have to have a large enough investment universe. At the same time, we need to have a very pure investment universe as well if we are to work on a thematic on a very pure way. So we need to cross, I would say, all requests to be large enough, but at the same time to be highly exposed to the theme we are about to invest in.
Thematic investment is a wide field of opportunities. Why does it make sense to have a thematic investment?
Well, thematic investment makes sense because, you know, there are sources of growth outside of equity markets. And what we try to do is to potentially capture this growth and to transform it into performance. There are many, many, many sources, opportunities of growth around us, we do not identify that often. So our role is to just to go outside, to think out of the box, if I can say, out of the day-to-day financial markets, to understand what is shaping our lives, what is ahead of us. Try to see if we are at the end of a cycle, at the beginning of a cycle, in the middle of a cycle. We have to see if there is, you know, there is potential for the trend to go on. And then if it's the case and if it's validated, we will try to understand the best way possible how to capture, not to say how to harness, but how to capture this growth and transform it into performance over time. And doing so for our investors. There's something I want to mention here about the risks as well, because there's a world of opportunity. And I would like to say what would be the risks associated as well, because, you know, a world of opportunity seems to be a fairy tale. No, of course. It depends on how much time we have ahead of us as an investor and how much we can deviate from a benchmark. Because what we do is not necessarily to replicate a larger equity market index, right? We can do better, hopefully for most of the time, and sometimes we can do less good for many reasons I will not detail here. So if the purpose of an investor is to track an index every day, every month, very regularly, I'm not sure the thematic investing is for this investor. On the contrary, if we have time ahead of us, perhaps 4 to 5 years, in order to have a smoother, I would say, returns over time, I think there is growth to go and search for and to bring in terms of performance for our clients. But we have to be conscious about the deviation risks versus a larger equity index.
So as in fact, with every investment, I have to know what I am doing and what is possible and what is
absolutely
not possible.
This is absolutely required. And I think it's very important for the investor to know what is his or her horizon of time and what is or are the goals they are pursuing. If we have time and if we consider that, I don't know, a trend like digitalization, tech revolution is going forward despite interest rates going higher, going lower, et cetera, and it will shape our lives, then I think there is room for the investor to invest in trends and in thematic funds.
So from your experience, who is a typical thematic investor?
Well, the largest part of our business is coming from retail. Retail meaning retail, you and me, and a higher, I would say, scale of wealth, private banking, let's say. This is the bulk of our business, and it's about, I don't know, almost three-fourths, if I can say, 70 to 75% of our business. But interestingly, institutionals are opening up to thematic investing, and they understand more and more that there are not only two grids of reading the markets. It's not only about sectors. It's not only about geography. I'm not saying that they're not good. They are. They have their utility. They have their usefulness. But reading the markets through a thematic lens has its own interests, and they are wakening up to this, and they are more and more inclined to invest in thematic funds.
Thank you very much for the interview.
It was my pleasure. Thank you for having me.
This podcast is for information purposes only. It's not a recommendation, financial analysis or advice, and does not constitute a solicitation, invitation or offer to purchase or sell any of the funds or services described herein in any jurisdiction where such offer, solicitation or invitation would be unlawful. All investors should seek professional advice prior to any investment decision in order to determine the risks associated with the investment and its suitability. The podcast is aimed exclusively at private investors and professional clients resident or domiciled in Austria and may not be distributed to US persons in accordance with regulation S of the Securities and Exchange Commission in accordance with the U.S. Securities Act
of 1933. Any opinions or statements made represent our views as of a particular date and are subject to a change without notice. The key information documents and the prospectuses of the investment funds offered by Amundi in Austria are available to interested parties free of charge in German or English in their respective current versions at www.amundi.at. Please note that the management company may denotify arrangements made for marketing as regards units or shares of the fund in a member state of the EU in respect of which it has made a notification. Information on sustainability-related aspects can be found at www.amundi.at/privatkunden/nachhaltig-investieren/Weberblick. Information status, February 2024. www.amundi.at/privatkunden/nachhaltig-investieren/Weberblick.